On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on 105.1 The Fan and what we like to call the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Steve Pfeiffer will join us at 8:30. So that might be our last Giannis stuff. Maybe.
Final. Until we get another rumor. Then we're on it again, baby.
I know you've said not to do it. I've played it a couple times. I know it pisses you off, but I'm going to do it one more time.
Do we actually have breaking news?
Yes.
Okay, something has actually happened, but it's not Giannis.
The Cargo Short Classic is officially called off and canceled. We had somebody be non-committal, not respond, and basically say they weren't doing it without just telling us to our faces they're not doing it.
Never got word.
So we made the call. I apologize to everybody. We tried like hell. Dirt especially tried like hell behind the scenes to make this a thing. Joe Fisher was willing to do it.
Yeah, he's going to be there.
Lowercase. We'll be filling in the fourth tee time, and we'll be doing a Ducks versus Beavs fun thing.
Yeah,
he's hanging out tomorrow. There is no Cargo Short Classic. Do not drive out there.
No.
I apologize. We apologize. Though we shouldn't, because we're not the ones that need to apologize.
Yeah, I'm not apologizing. Somebody should apologize, but they probably won't apologize. And good for young CJ for he kind of cornered the market yesterday. He started putting the pitch out there. Hey, you need a fourth. I'm ready.
Now I feel bad because I want to golf with Brandon.
Yeah, good swing.
And he might be available tomorrow. But Casey did to his credit. Casey jumped at it, and he's like, hey, if he's not going to do it.
Ducks versus Beavs, what do we think?
Your boy. I was like, all right, man.
Your Casey impression's getting better by the day. That's solid right there.
So we'll do like a Ducks versus Beavs, I don't know.
We'll film some content. We'll have some fun. Yeah. It'll be a fun station thing. I'm going to let Joe take as many shots on social media as he wants. Go ahead. We can film all the videos.
The floor is yours.
Somebody will not be there, and Joe Fisher will be there.
Jealous. I'm looking up at the TV. We've got a live look in at the parade. Carnthy Towns with the sweetest champion's jacket, backwards hat, probably high as a kite, carrying around the Eastern Conference trophy. And they're now just celebrating with Knicks fans. It's going to be a great day in New York. Hopefully there's no idiots out there trying to do something dumb.
There'll be an idiot, I'm sure. Something bad will happen, but it's not indicative of the entire fan base.
No, it's not.
And every time we get to these moments, all I can think about, and this is how I view the NBA lens, of like, man, can you dare to dream? Can you imagine what that would feel like today?
Poll question is up. Would you trade every in and out for one Blazers championship? Yes or no at Dirt and Sprague?
Even if they upped the offer of like you got to throw in another fast food place, I would still do that too. Throw another one at me. I'll trade them all.
Which one would you trade next? Which one would you cut out of existence?
Who's next on the list?
Yeah.
Burger King.
Oh, man.
Followed by Wendy's.
What?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Wait, time out.
Why is Wendy's that low?
I don't need a finger in my chili.
Get out of here. Like they all haven't done something. Rock. Wendy's? The Frosty?
The irony is I've actually...
The Junior Bacon with cheese?
Something got robbed. $3 amps?
The Nuggies?
I got bases?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's probably my top.
The Baconator? You want to eliminate the Baconator?
That's probably my top four.
What other place has a four patty burger?
You got your fries and your Frosty. That's what everybody's doing.
God, yeah, you do. What did Dave Thomas ever do to you, you son of a...
He did nothing. I can't tell you the last time I went to a Wendy's. It's not even that I don't
Over
like Wendy's.
Over Jack in the Box?
I guess I didn't even think of, maybe that's offensive to Jack. I didn't even think of Jack in the Box.
Get
Wendy's popped
here.
Into my head first. I haven't eaten at a Wendy's or a Jack in the Box in a very long time.
I don't know if there's anything I have hated forever and always will that everybody seems to love more than Jack in the Box tacos.
I feel like they still have a true value menu. Like those tacos, I feel like are pretty cheap. Are they
you
not?
You think Wendy's doesn't have a value menu?
I haven't been to a Wendy's in probably 20 years, to be honest with you.
Oh,
it's
man.
Been a minute for me. And
there's
I
a,
eat
there's
fast
a Wendy's
food.
Across from Park Rose. We lived there, basically.
Oh, there was one when we were in high school because there's one off of Powell that we would go to quite often. But yeah, it's been a minute for me. The one that I will protect
Wendy's.
Because they deserve to be protected, and I will stand side by side with them is Arby's. I will stand with you, Arby's.
They have the meats.
You have the meats, and I like the meats. And your curly fries are fantastic.
I can't really defend anything in the BK thing other than I do enjoy the Whopper. The Whopper's a pretty good burger.
All of these rankings for me are not necessarily places that I don't like. It's just places that I don't go.
Oh, I mean, I don't and go it's to not any that of I'm them, not, to be no, honest with you.
I mean, I'll eat fast food occasionally, not that often, but it's usually a Taco Bell, McDonald's thing for me.
If you had to eliminate one, which one would you eliminate? Wendy's, Jack in the Box, or Burger King? I'll put that up as a poll question as
who,
well.
Who are we first to trade off? Eliminate them from the island.
I hate to tell you this.
The tribe has spoken.
We still don't have a head coach.
No, no, we do not.
I thought we'd wake up with news that Shams bombs would happen. Like, I thought that was going down today. Maybe it will.
I got my eyes on a Shams bomb.
But we're off at 10, and we're not back tomorrow, so we won't be on the air till Monday. Then Tuesday, we're off the air. I don't know what to make of all of this. We still don't have a head coach.
No, we do not.
What's the holdup, you think? We have two guys.
No idea,
there's supposed to be two guys.
Yeah.
Is it a negotiation problem?
There was a listener earlier who asked if it's because we're going to get Jaylen Brown, and if we're getting Jaylen Brown, we're going to hire the Boston assistant because he has a good relationship with him.
Well, but
so we're waiting to see on a move like that. I have no idea.
That's why people put Orlando in the Giannis business, because Sean Sweeney coached Giannis, has a good relationship with Giannis.
Yeah.
He's coming from San Antonio, but he knows Giannis really well, so that's why people are linking Orlando to Giannis, is because of the coach.
Yeah, I look, the entire process from that regard has been inexcusable. I don't understand what the idea is. If the whole thing is taking a cheap coach, then just go hire the guy who's willing to take the cheap contract. If you truly haven't made your mind up yet, what the hell are we waiting for? The timeline of the entire thing leading into almost the week of the NBA draft, which is next Tuesday. Now, you don't have a first round pick, so maybe it's not the end of the world for you if you don't have a head coach in place. I don't get what benefit you get for delaying this move any longer. And if you're down to two candidates and that report is true and you can't make your mind up over which one, or maybe they're both giving you wishy-washy answers because they're waiting to see if they get an offer from Dallas, because I'd rather be the head coach of Dallas. That is an area that I am completely fine criticizing Dundon for. Delaying the thing through the Stanley Cup final, I get the Carolina's a big deal when they're playing for a championship and we were out in the first round of the playoffs. The idea you can't do both at the same time is laughable, and I'm hoping we get an announcement sooner rather than later because it's dragged on way too long.
Well, yesterday, Tiago Splitter had his introductory press conference in Chicago, and take a listen to this question and his answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, but I really want to leave that behind.
Let me start that over again. No. I forgot I deleted the question out of it, so I apologize for that. The question was basically how much of what was going down in Portland, the finance thing came up, you know, kind of led to him basically not going to Portland, but instead becoming the Bulls coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, but I really want to leave that behind. You know, I'm going to think about the Bulls. That's my goal right now, and I want to keep that behind. I respect all opinions. I think there's too many things being said already, and I think that's enough. I'm past that, and I want to think about the Chicago Bulls.
Should be noted, I don't believe he thanked the Trailblazers organization, and he doesn't want to talk about why he's not in Portland.
Yeah, I mean, I understand from his perspective why there would obviously be some bad blood there. I fully understand it. I didn't go to the level of this is the most egregious conduct I've ever seen an NBA have, because the last time we hired a head coach, we hired a guy with some pretty serious allegations in his past, pretended to interview a female candidate in order to appease those fans, spun around, pinned the hire on Dame that as if he was friends with the coach, that's why we hired him, and then had a press conference at that point, shutting down questions with drinking a water bottle. It's not the most egregious behavior I've ever seen, but I certainly get from his perspective, like, hey, I got us to the playoffs. Why is the job not mine? Why am I not getting, like, I get, for, like, if you're just anybody in that kind of working environment would be frustrated that they didn't get a better offer or an opportunity to continue to be the head coach.
Well, people are really upset how long it's taking.
And that's totally fair. It's ridiculous.
I
don't understand.
I don't know what you're holding up on. If you have two guys, it just has to be money. I don't know what else would cause this.
Dallas is the only other opening, right, still? Dallas still has not hired a head coach.
It's Dallas and Portland. And Dallas reportedly is looking at Mike Inouye.
They are. And there's also rumors that they, at least early on, were trying to go after some big fish. So maybe they're
Dallas might
still
be sniffing around Terry Stotts.
Yeah, it could be Terry Stotts. Remember, a couple of college coaches were thrown in there, too. I don't think Shire is going to leave. They were trying that, like, shoot for the moon and then let's whittle our way down. So theirs makes a little more sense, because they moved on from Kidd long after we had opened up the idea of interviewing anybody.
Yeah.
The timeline is ridiculous.
See, this is where I'm starting to get into the criticism of it. Now, criticism of it in the sense of If it's down to two people, and the funny thing is, if like in 1 hour we get breaking news,
Jeff Van Gundy's the head coach,
or yeah, whatever, yeah. They hire Lashbrook. I don't know. You know, like we'll pass that along. But up until this point, at this time, I just, if you lose Tiago Splitter, and I want to believe, because did you see the Dwight James report that Splitter's getting the average pay of a coach? Which
I did not see that. No,
he said the average was $7 million. I thought the NBA average coach salary is like 4.5, but I'm just going to take his reporting on that.
Sure.
He is saying that Splitter got the NBA average contract.
Okay.
Now, it's a four-year deal, but it's a fourth-year team option with 3 years guaranteed.
Right. I think the hard part with the averages, too, is that you have a couple of guys who are making...
Well, you have 17.
Significantly
and, yeah,
more.
Spo and then Kerr make a ton out. Of money.
And Teron Lue's at $15 million. Yeah. Spo's at, I think, 17 and Kerr's at 17.
But I just thought the average was 4.5. But, you know, maybe I just misheard that. But
coaches entering their first head coaching job, which this is technically it for Tiago Splitter,
yeah,
traditionally make between $2 and $6 million.
Yeah, I thought 4.5 was the average
for a
first-time
literally the average
head coach.
For a first-time head coach.
So, you know, if that reporting is correct, and I have no reason to not believe it, what Dwight James said on that, it does make me kind of go, okay, well, the reality is they didn't want to pay Splitter the money he was asking for, remember, when all the stuff started.
Mm-hmm.
So even though he's a finalist, you scratch that name off, and it really boils down to Mike Anori and Tyler Lashbrook. Who's going to be more expensive?
I would imagine Norrie.
Not close.
Yeah.
Lashbrook is a second-row bench guy for Boston. That doesn't have to mean he's not a good coach. It just means if you're paying him, he's literally probably going to make $1.2 million
yes.
as a coaching salary, whereas Mike Anori's probably going to command more of that $3.5 million, and if you have a cheap owner, he's going to be like, well, it's roster base here. You really have to make the right decision because, again, we're going to be comping what we do to Chicago.
Yes,
Splitter's
we will.
We're going to have this good stuff going.
Yes, we will.
And turn it around. We're going to be out here calling out Tom Dundon. But to your point, and it should be noted, I do find it kind of laughable, as frustrating or slow as this process is,
mm-hmm.
how quick we're ready to just conclude everything about this guy. When we have how many mess-ups by the Vulcans?
Yeah.
Which is fine. You're going to own a team from 1988 until 2026. You're going to make mistakes.
I mean, I just literally gave you from the last time we went through a coaching search.
How,
and how
about like
much
three GMs in 3 years? we went from Pritchard, Cho, Buchanan, like just a turnstile of general managers.
Yeah.
That's not stability.
No.
That's not logic. That's panic, irrational thinking. And we eventually got Neil Olshey. So I don't know. I'm frustrated. I get it. I do hope we get a decision today during the show. I'd love that as a show host.
Yeah, it'd be great.
But I also, like, I got texts on this yesterday, and I'm just like, we're not going to bring up the Vulcans? Like, we literally had to shut down a press conference.
Treating people poorly and, you know, not going through the right processes that are necessary.
I don't know. I find the whole thing just odd. It's always like, history. Dundon sucks, Dundon this, and it's like never just, let's do a write-up on how the Vulcans screwed up X amount of hires.
Yeah, I mean, you just, again, go back to the last coaching search. They knew who they wanted to hire. They went through a sham interview process. They made the hire. News leaked of what he was accused of years ago. They pinned it on their best player and then did a fake interview with a female coach that evidently our owner was super involved in to appease the people who said that we were doing something egregious.
We fired Nate McMillan. Didn't we fire Nate McMillan on the road?
I'm pretty sure we did.
We were like in Chicago or something, right? When what's-his-face ended up filling in, and we were like, hi, Caleb Canales.
The Caleb Canales game in Chicago.
I think we were in Chicago and they fired him. Like, how would we react if Tom Dundon fired a guy on the road? Like, couldn't even wait to get home, huh?
Yeah, I think the other tough part is, like, again, I'm okay with little criticisms in vacuums of things that I don't understand. Like, the Tiago Splitter stuff for me has never been a deal breaker. I think he's a fine coach. I don't think he's a generational mind.
I don't know.
I think he's going to do fine in Chicago,
but
depending on what they do with the
roster. We don't want him.
Yeah, depending on what they do with the roster, he might win some games. He might. I don't know. I'm not looking at that as like, oh my God, how will we ever recover from losing Tiago Splitter and his 42-39 record in a year in which half of the teams in the NBA actively tried to lose as many games as humanly possible. So there's a little bit of that, and I'm okay with these little, like, the timeline thing for me is a completely fair criticism. What are we doing? It's June 18th.
You have two guys.
We've known forever that we were going to move. Like, make a damn hire and let's move on from this storyline, please.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to have the vacuum criticism turned into a bigger picture criticism, because I will go back to the original point. And this was, I mentioned this the other day when Splitter announced he was going to Chicago. If our offseason was re-signing Tiago Splitter at $6 million a year to be our head coach, hey, look at that. We paid up for a guy. And the only move is to get a mid-level exception player in the offseason. That's a horrible offseason. Horrible. If you hire Tyler Lashbrook at $1.2 million at the floor salary of NBA coaches, mm-hmm. and you go out and acquire Jaylen Brown or Giannis Antetokounmpo this offseason, it's one of the best offseasons in the history of the Portland Trailblazers, if not the best in the history of the Portland Trailblazers. And so, while again, the little vacuum criticisms I'm fine with. The timeline is ludicrous. Make a damn hire, Tom. Get off your ass and make a hire. Let's go.
Agree.
But also, it's not the most important thing of this offseason. Yeah.
Let's get to maybe one of our last Giannis 2026 watch things.
Ooh, run watch.
Here's Chris Haynes, very plugged into the Giannis family, very plugged into Dame Dalla. Here he is on NBA Sirius XM Radio, the latest update from Giannis and suitors.
This can drag on into free agency. This can drag on until July. So the Bucks are not operating as if that is the quote-unquote deadline.
Right.
With that being said, Zach, there isn't anything official yet on Giannis as far as teams that are really in play that have made some momentum. Boston seems a little bit, from what I'm hearing, engaging. Boston doesn't seem as a promising destination as we thought. I think there's interest, but there's not a clear sign as of right now that that is their number one objective, if that makes any sense. Not to say that they've pulled out, not to say that they won't try anything when July hits, but I have no clear cut signs that they are dead set on him as of right now. And so with that, if that is to be the case, mm-hmm. Zach, we're back to square one as far as all the speculation goes and what's going to happen. I still do ultimately believe he will be moved this offseason. Mm-hmm. But I'm not as certain as I was before that it would be done before the draft.
So this could stretch into July, guys.
Yay!
Is that good or bad for Portland? Some people think this is a good thing for us. That Boston is not giving them, you know, maybe not interested in moving Jaylen Brown now. There still has not been
any. What are we not offering that will put us over the top?
So the reporting came out from, I want to say it was Jake Fisher. I want to give the credit here, and I hope I'm right on this.
Was it the first thing at the deadline, but now they're not quite as willing to do that?
Because they can't get the commitment on the extension.
Yeah.
Which is quite a price to pay for a guy that won't commit to signing an extension. But, you know, it's really hard to be like, oh, you went and got Giannis? What a stupid move.
It seems like the Dame-Miami stuff all over again.
It has
Dame wanted to go to Miami. Giannis wants to go to Miami.
Yep.
They don't have enough to appease the other team.
The Miami offer is a joke.
It's up to them to go find a third wheel or a fourth wheel or a fifth wheel, how many wheels it takes to get the deal done for them. But their offer is not getting any better because there's only so much that they can offer.
Yeah, they don't have a million picks, and their players are not amazing.
Milwaukee's kind of waiting around to maybe see if that's just the only part for me of, like, if we bump it back up to four first round picks, do they say yes, we're going to do it, but are we willing to do four first round picks if we don't get the guarantee of the extension? Thankfully, the idea of it going into July in your head, you're like, Jesus, all the way to July, but it's not that far off.
Yeah.
Free agency opens up, what, usually the 4th of July weekend, right, is when free agency kind of opens and the offseason kicks up. So it might only be another week or two away. If this thing drags close to the start of the NBA season, then I'm out on Giannis. I'm out. I don't want him anymore.
Well, Giannis can't make the trade
I mean, you can't. If he just said, I'm signing an extension, the trade would probably be done by now.
But you don't know the business works.
Come on.
I don't know the business of that.
Sign an extension, Giannis.
By the way, good point by one of our listeners, Andrew. They fired Kevin Pritchard on draft night.
The whore.
Do you know who they drafted? They buy it an hour before the draft. Do you know who they picked that draft?
Who are our picks, Brandon Sprague? Probably good picks that year, I imagine.
Luke Babbitt and Nolan Smith.
That's two for two right there.
Can you imagine the outcry if Tom Dundon fires Joe Cronin an hour before a draft and they draft two guys that were like, what?
Yeah, it's just a lot of it is revisionist history
it
and
really
pretending as if everything
ways.
The last 30 years
was
has been
perfect.
Flowing perfectly and we've been winning games left and right.
That's a really good poll by
it's
Andrew.
It's also
on that.
Fair to criticize the timeline. Like both
yes.
of these things can be true.
We are criticizing
yes.
Gundon. Make the damn hire.
Make a hire, Tom.
But like also everything has to be the aha, gotcha yeah. moment. And I just like, come
let's
on,
not man. Memory hold this situation.
A lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague, we were on hour number two. What do we think about this support in the world of sports? That's next on The Fan.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, man. Here we go.
Welcome back in. 728, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1, The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Happy Thursday. We are off tomorrow. Just give you a heads up on that now.
It is our Friday.
And next week, man, it's here. Before you know it, Fan Golf Classic on Tuesday.
Gonna be hot one. Hot one on Tuesday.
Yes.
Gotta bring bring suntan lotion and a bottle of water.
Dirt and Rob Thomas telling you the same thing. Oh, it's a hot one.
That was a jam, dude. The moment that song came out, that was a summer song. It's an all-timer.
I'm really bad with music.
And Carlos Santana.
A great duo. I have a take of like Rob Thomas should be in the lexicon more.
What do you mean? Like a more...
He should just be... He should always be having a song out.
He should... Rob. We need more
I
Rob
like
Thomas.
I like Rob Thomas's voice.
You do? I mean, I do too. I shouldn't have said that in a questioning tone.
Half the songs sound like he's recording it through a phone.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Oh, it's a hot one. But it sounds like a voicemail. And I like that sound. 12th Annual Fan Golf Classic presented by Toyota is sold out next Tuesday. But it's a big thank you to Victor Rico's and Matt's Barbecue. You guys providing kick-ass food. We'll be at the Angels Envy Bourbon Par 3. And the Fan Golf Classic also says thanks to Vulcan Design and Construction, Henderson & Daughter Windows & Doors, George McCoy, Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law, Battery Exchange, Maestro Dobel Tequila, Lorehurst Market Steakhouse and Butcher Shop, Philbrook Law, 1-800-DIVORCE, Roto-Rooter, Ely Gale Mezcal, Pub Beer Cheap Fun, Apex Golf Club, and Window Nation.
Hey-ya! Hey-ya!
I didn't get to this, and I thought, you know, Thursday could be a good day to talk about it. Did mm-hmm. you see that all the sports player associations backing the Protect College Sports Act?
I did not see that, no.
Yeah.
All the professional league player associations
So the
did.
NFLPA, the mm-hmm. MLBPA, the NBAPA, all the players associations.
All the PAs out there.
They all came out and sent statements to Congress supporting the Protect College Sports Act, but they did say that they want certain things negotiated and changed. But they largely support what the bill is after. The NFL also offered its support for the voluntary pooling of media rights under the Sports Broadcasting Act.
I mean, that would fundamentally change everything about college athletics
right
now. Which is
a huge thing.
Huge deal.
And if you want to talk about conference alignment stuff, like if I'm Oregon and I'm not getting $80 million, that now this is dispersed.
Everybody's just getting like $40 million, you know.
Peace out, Big Ten. I'm right. playing West and I'm not traveling as much to cut down on the cost. But I thought it was interesting. It's one thing for leagues and owners or, you know, people like that. The Players Association's backing this. Fascinating.
It's interesting. I did not see the statement on that. I do find it interesting that I think one of the angles of this that doesn't get talked about enough, and some of this is just like the reaction is kids got to learn lessons sometimes in life.
It goes to the Senate floor for a vote today, by the way.
Yes, it does. Some of it for me is about the protections of the athletes from agents who don't have their best interests at hand. And that is one of the key aspects of the bill that I think is attractive from a player standpoint. That I don't know what percentage it is. I don't know, you know, how many of them end up getting bad advice and taking the bad advice. But I do know there is a chunk of guys every year who get bad advice from people who are thinking about their bottom line and their cut of an NIL payment, mm-hmm. who are advising them to go elsewhere, advising them to go find another offer. And some of that, the reaction from people is, well, it's just, I mean, kids got to learn. You got to learn a lesson, right? Don't take advice from the bad person. You're an adult now. You got to live with the consequences of your actions. While also, I try and understand the nuanced side of it of like, yeah, man, that's like you're throwing these kids into a bit of an impossible situation where they're trying to make money from their families. Some of them come from nothing. This is their first chance get generational money occasionally for them, their parents, their siblings and all that. And you get somebody telling you, man, if you go into the portal and you go here, you can make X amount more, and you listen to the advice, then that offer is not waiting for you on the other side. So I don't know exactly why it is, but if I were to guess why the players' associations are on board with it, I'd imagine that's a part of it, the protection of the players, because you don't even have to be a certified agent to rep a guy in an NIL contract dispute.
Here is the statements by the NFL and NBA. They did a joint statement. The bill includes, quote, the bill includes several important provisions designed to protect college athletes, including guaranteeing NIL rights and providing medical and healthcare benefits. We encourage continued meaningful stakeholder engagement and negotiations to further strengthen the bill as it moves through Congress to ensure college athletes are protected and empowered. And then Major League Baseball jumped in yesterday, and they said, quote, college baseball has undergone a remarkable transformation over the last several years and has become an increasingly important pathway for the future professional baseball players. One, on issues such as player eligibility, the Protect College Sports Act will help to ensure its continued growth, which is good for all levels of sport.
It's a lot of support to have behind it. I don't know if it's actually going to pass. I haven't followed closely enough from a Washington standpoint of like what the, you know, what the head count is and the vote count. I know it's going to be a toss-up, but there are, this is one of the most fundamental things that could, I mean, if it doesn't pass, then whatever, you move on to the next bill and you try and create another one, I guess. But this one, if it is to pass, could be a fundamental change for everything that we're watching right
now. How wild. Remember we talked about when the Civil War got relaunched? Mm-hmm. We did that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I asked the question, like, are they in the same conference by the 2032 game?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems ridiculous to even ask that question. But, like, how quickly would things change if that broadcasting aspect changed?
Yeah.
I mean, the money is to have to be dispersed more evenly.
One of the biggest, you know, reasons for this bill being filed, when you read the statements from the two authors of the bill, Cantwell from Washington and Cruz from Texas, is basically the Oregon State Washington State reason. It is that you are
because
leaving.
Cantwell's in Washington
she
State.
She is, so. And she's hearing from one of the universities in her state that has been left behind. And the idea that you've always had have and have nots in the sports of sport of college athletics, in all college athletic sports.
You do in Power Four right now.
You do in Power Four right now. And it's that's always been the case. There's certain programs who don't have any sort of realistic shot at ever winning a national championship.
Exactly.
And there's a group of them that have the ability to do it. Doesn't mean the teams that can't win it can't have a good year and win 10 or 11 games. But there's just a different gap, and that will always be in existence. I think there is the genuine fear as these go on. Like, the Big Ten and the SEC media rights are only going to continue to go up, and they're only going to continue to get richer, and it's not going to be the case for the other programs. And so the longer you go with a $40 million, $50 million, $60 million gap in revenue every single year between these schools, where are we at 10 years from now? And that money compounding year after year after year, getting bigger and bigger, the Big 12 and their next TV deal is not going to jump up to $50 million a school. The Big 12 kind of is what it is, and the ACC is just trying to hold on for dear life until their grant of rights is up. And not lose their big fish like the Big 12 did and the Pac-12 ultimately did and ended up crumbling. So I there's an aspect of it that I get, man, of like, let's balance this thing out. Let's make it fair. Professional sports is that way. College football is a bit of professional sports. Like, I understand the argument there.
Well, okay, let me ask you the hypothetical then, even though we're getting ahead of it. By the way, the updated odds, it's literally a coin toss.
Is it really?
On the markets, yeah. They don't know if it's going to pass or not. If I told you it passed, what is your immediate reaction to it? The media rights part, not the Protect College
Sports.
Well,
so the pooling
players.
Of the rights, it should be noted. Yeah. That is not, if you pass the bill, the pooling of the rights is not a part of the bill.
I know.
It gives them the ability to vote on it.
Yes.
Now, that's another complicated conundrum because you could technically pass it without anybody from the Big Ten or the SEC voting for it, but you might need to add a team to your conference. Like, the Pac-12 might have to go add another school to give them a vote at this level.
Texas Tech, come on down.
They're already in the Big 12, so they wouldn't count. You'd have to bring up, like, a North Dakota State or something and, like, be, hey, come on down.
Let's vote.
Sac State, come on
Sac
in.
Sac State, you want in?
Look at that. We got one more vote. Yeah. And now maybe you could pass it, and that would ultimately pull the grant of rights.
But what would your reaction be? My reaction would be...
And in the short term, it would be, this is what college football needs something. Now, this is not perfect. It's not going to solve every issue.
Because your money's going to go from 80, 90 to... Well,
that's
not
only
80,
if you pull the media rights, though.
That's
so that's not a part. That's if that next domino falls.
Yes.
Ultimately, though, I'm still okay with it because the idea that has always pissed me off the most is the idea that there are teams in the two super conferences that don't belong in the super conferences. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous that Rutgers is making twice as much of a conference distribution as my school is.
Right.
It's laughable. Why is Rutgers, why is Northwestern here? What are you doing? Why do you get $80 million a year?
What are you doing? What,
Mississippi State, yeah. Looking at you, buddy. Arkansas, like do something that matters in the sport that matters. Vanderbilt forever. Kentucky forever. Like, mm-hmm. these schools are just granted in to make money hand over fist when they have nothing to do with the reason the conference is rich, which is the football television contract, and that is because of Bama and LSU and Georgia and Florida, and in the Big Ten, we know the culprits. So that's the part of it that I just kind of chuckle at. If you had a true Super League or a relegation, that kind of thing, by all means, if your league is nothing but teams who can win the title and you make $100 million, you all deserve it. But that's not the case in the Big Ten and the SEC.
So if we got to that point, though, of pooling media rights, are you?
I don't know what Oregon would do in that case, because there's an argument to be had of the benefits that they've experienced in the Big Ten,
no
especially
doubt.
In recruiting.
Yeah.
Like, they just signed the number one kid out of Michigan the other day. I think that's been a huge benefit to Dan to go into houses and say,
you think the conference part matters for Lanning? Is basically what I'm asking, because it kind of sounds like what you're saying is like the Big Ten. I would agree with you.
It's more prestigious than the old Pac-12 for sure.
Well, yeah, but
they've won 3 straight national championships.
No, I
the
know.
Pac-12 did
I'm
not
trying to poo-poo it.
Not won a national champion in the last 20 years.
I'm just
of their
pointing
conference.
Out the year that Bo his last year Washington went to the title. Like, that was a pretty nice season for the
no
conference.
No doubt about it. It was a great year for the Pac-12.
Who knows what the conference is doing if nothing is broken up? Right? If USC doesn't abandon and jump ship, if mm-hmm. Oregon does, and Washington and all the other schools go to the Big 12 and the Big 10. Like, we don't know what the conference, maybe it becomes the second best conference. Maybe
I think the last 2 years, if that had been the case, Oregon would have dominated the Pac-12, because Washington lost DeBoer and they've been looking for their, you know, lifeboat the last couple of years. USC is USC and they've underwhelmed with Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
What else? Utah's been down the last couple of years.
ASU
was
a
playoff team
they
2 years ago. Yeah.
All I'm saying is, like, merely the conference itself might have been finally in a spot where they're getting their S together, and it just so happened to coincide with the last year of their existence, which is really unfortunate timing. I have no idea what Duck fan would think if you told them, like, the media right part popped up and it's pooling the money together, and you go from making, what is Oregon making in the Big Ten? Is it 60? Is it 50?
Sub 50, I want to say, somewhere in that range. We went over the numbers when they came out.
Whatever that is to, I don't even know what the new number would be. Whatever that number is,
you'd have to take all the conference distributions, average them all out, and then you got
so maybe
a
it's
lot of
33 million. I don't know. I'm making a number out
but
of
it. But it'd be
butt,
the same that everybody's making, because
exactly.
you would level it out and everybody would make
and
the same.
And I wonder how people would feel about that. Like, hey, you're basically going to join, you're going to remake the Pac-12, because what financial advantage do you have?
Yeah, I don't know.
Going out Midwest East all the time.
The biggest arguments for are the idea of massive games that are a big deal for your program.
You can still have that.
Of course you can.
You know?
But you're not getting a conference game with Ohio State coming to Eugene, right? There's not a Penn State wideout game. So that you would
I
lose
think there's a way you can schedule some of that. In a new landscape like that, I still think there's a way to get the TV networks to make them happy of, like, what if we did crossover games broken up with, and that's still a way to appease both sides?
Yeah. And the compelling argument the other way would be, you know, tradition and everything we've watched our entire lives coming back into existence in the only conference that we ever knew until 2 years ago.
Fair.
And back into the history of the way that the sport probably should look. It's an interesting argument right now, like, if you were inside the Oregon office, because I get both sides of it. I do think the recruiting thing is real for them, of having the ability to say, if you're from Pennsylvania and you come to Oregon and you sign here, in the old Pac-12, you ain't playing out. Your family's coming all the way out here to watch you, and you have the means to be able to do that, sure. But now you can say, hey, you're a kid from Pennsylvania. Guess what? We're playing a whiteout game at Penn State, and you're going back to your home state. And I do think there's an argument to be made of it helping recruiting in that regard. But I also get the history and the tradition and would love to see the old Pac-12 put together again.
Well, we'll see what happens today in the Senate floor. They're going to have a vote on the Protect College Sports Act probably sometime in the next hour or two, right? Isn't that usually when it happens, in the afternoon?
I think so.
Yeah, whatever. But it's going to happen today. The votes will go down, and we'll see what the results of that. Hey, this guy keeps saying it, and I just want to know if we're buying it.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
next on The Fan. Well, welcome back in. We'll talk with Steve Pfeiffer in Milwaukee. He came on our show a couple years ago and was like, hey, you guys going to give us Dame? We get to bring him on and be like, you going to give us Giannis? And laugh at him.
And what I'm looking most forward to is if we ever get the ability to have Minix on from San Antonio and take some shots if we're able to beat them in the playoffs. Because Minix from San Antonio.
Fantastic.
And it's not even just that, dude. I remember going on his show when Aldridge was a free agent.
Oh, yeah.
And he asked me, you know, what are the chances? You know, how's Portland feeling?
What did you say? Do you remember? Were you saying no, he's going to resign?
I think I said, yeah, we all felt, because we had no intel that he was going to leave at the time. He said he wanted to be the greatest Blazer of all time literally like 6 months earlier. That was his goal, was to be the greatest.
I don't remember what my take was.
I just remember that being such a quote of like, damn, he said he wants to be the greatest Blazer of all time. He can't leave in the offseason then, right? And I remember after I gave a long-winded Blazer honk answer, he said, so you're telling me he's going to look good in a Spurs jersey, huh? And then like 2 weeks later, he signed in San Antonio.
Brandon, can you pull that sound he just made? That breathing sound he just made. Can you pull that as a drop for me?
I don't know where the... I'm trying to find his fantastic drop. But I don't know
Swag
where it
took
went.
It off.
Oh, he took it off the board?
Yeah. And I'm like, don't take that off.
I'm not trying to be a chotch.
That's a great fantastic by him.
Fantastic.
So hoity-toity southern rich guy vibes.
We got to get Dave Kinsella in here for a fantastic. He could duplicate it.
So we'll talk with Steve Pfeiffer at 8:30 today. It is our Friday because we are off on Juneteenth. So happy Thursday, Friday to everybody out there. So you may recall about a week or two ago, we talked about Joe Burrow basically saying it's the most talented team he's ever had in Cincinnati. He's been to a Super Bowl.
Yes.
And he's like, this team is the most talented team I've ever had.
Is that with Al Farouq Aminu at the four?
They project to be a 54-win team.
Got it. Okay, just making sure.
He's jumped back in again.
Ooh, double dipping the chip.
And some would say he's even heightened it more.
Oh.
Quote, you go back and watch what I said before the 2019 season at LSU, I feel very similarly about this team. I'm so excited to get started and get moving. I wish we ramped this right into training camp so we could continue to improve.
Wow.
I feel like there's so much greatness we'll be able to achieve this year that I'm just excited to get going. This team is 2019 LSU, but the NFL version, according to Joe Burrow. This dude is really setting it up this year for him.
I just, you know, look, good for you, Joe.
And I love me some Joe Burrow.
I'm glad you feel confident. I'm glad you're feeling healthy going into a season. The NFL is more entertaining when you're on the field than you're playing. You've been one of the few over the years who's been able to go into Arrowhead and knock off Kansas City and Mahomes. So, you know, all of that, good stuff. I just, you're putting some juicy red meat quotes out there right now in the middle of June for next season.
Yeah.
When you get hurt and the team starts 1-4 and the coach gets fired and like, hey, remember that? Remember 2019 LSU?
On the expectations that he has been setting with these quotes, quote, put pressure on guys. Ooh. I love it. I thrive in it. We'll find out who else does. I know what we have. We have the kind of people who want to be in this spot.
Yeah.
I want everybody talking about the Bengals. I want everybody talking about what I'm saying in my press conferences.
All right. I mean, hey, that sounds exactly like Joe Burrow.
Where is this coming from? I know he's always been cocky. This feels a little different. This feels like a redemption year if there's ever been one.
Yeah.
For a guy that... They've missed the playoffs two straight years, right?
I think it's longer than that.
Is it three?
I think it's three, but let me double check.
So they made the AFC title game and basically didn't make the playoffs again?
Yeah.
After the Super Bowl season?
I don't think they've been back since they lost the AFC title game to Kansas City.
I don't believe so, right?
Because year two was Super Bowl, right? Year two, they go to the Super Bowl.
Year three, AFC title game loss
with the out-of-bounds hit. They have missed the playoffs 3 years in a row.
Wow.
3 years ago, he got hurt. He only played 10 games.
Yep.
15 touchdowns, 6 picks, banged up. Boop, see you later. The next year, he plays like an MVP, but they give up 80 points per game.
And
they can't make the playoffs. And last year, he only played 8 games and got hurt again.
That's right.
And they didn't make the playoffs. So you're going on 3 years without Joe Burrow in the postseason.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I know you have a take. This sucks. It sucks to have the Sorsby news and then also live in a world where I'm
like the over the under.
I just opened my DraftKings.
So I got my bet up here right now.
But as somebody that's responsibly betting and not betting against my own show.
You're not betting on Korean table tennis?
I'm not betting against the over under months before Dusty's fired.
Right.
I'm not doing that.
Over 100 minutes of this segment. Let's see. I got 4.5. Yeah. 4.5. You're going to hit the over? I'm hitting the over.
Hit it.
I got Kalshi.
I am. It makes me very curious to see what their odds right now are and lay a bet because
the confidence makes you want to double down.
Dude, he's one of the more cocky, confident guys in sport, and I know they haven't made it 3 straight years, but
feels like he's almost trying to talk it into existence a little bit.
He's really feeling what's going on in Cincinnati this year.
I will give them credit. I don't often do that with Cincinnati because I think the idea of paying two wide receivers what they've paid those two wide receivers was not a smart financial move.
Well, they have Tom Dundon as their owner. And
they should have traded T. Higgins for a first-round pick because I'm sure somebody would have given them that, and you could have built somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest about Cincinnati. They have 3 questions about their team. Number one, is Joe Burrow going to stay healthy?
Good question. We
kill quarterbacks who can't stay healthy. And somehow, some way, because he came on early and went to a Super Bowl in year two and an AFC title, I feel like he escapes a little bit of that from time to time.
Far, as I pointed
like
out,
Lamar is injury prone, and oh my God, can you trust Lamar? Joe Burrow here out here 2 of the last 3 years playing 10 games in 8 games.
Yes.
So can Joe Burrow stay healthy? Question number two, which probably should be asked before question number one because they might go hand in hand. Can you keep him upright? How's your offensive line going to play? Mm-hmm. And then is Dexter Lawrence, question number three, enough to fix your defense? And I know he's not the only move that they made, but that is the home run swing that they took in order to fix it. And I think Dexter Lawrence is one of the best interior defensive linemen in the NFL.
I do too.
I love that move for Cincinnati, the sign of aggression, of we're trying to win. We have Joe Burrow in the prime of his career. Let's do all that we can. But those are the three questions that matter. If Burrow's healthy, I have no doubts he's going to put up numbers. Mm. You have 2 very good wide receivers. Like, there are some givens there. But if the offensive line doesn't perform, that leads to Burrow getting hurt or their defense is what it was 2 years ago. Joe Burrow 2 years ago had nearly 5,000 yards, 43 touchdowns, and 9 picks.
That's unbelievable.
He probably had the strongest argument to win MVP, but his team did not go to the playoffs because they were losing games 42-39.
Yeah. Wasn't that – so that was the Allen year, right?
That was the Allen MVP year 2 years ago.
Which I think if you go look Lamar's numbers up, like Lamar and Burrow's
all 3 of them
were insane.
Were fantastic.
So I just looked up the live odds. Would you care to guess where Cincinnati is?
For the division or the Super Bowl?
The Super Bowl. Joey B's talking Super Bowl vibes, not
Joey B.
You know, we're going to win the AFC North this year.
I'm going to give you the teams that they're behind. Buffalo, I'm just gonna, not in any particular order.
Okay, hold on. Yes.
Behind Buffalo.
Correct.
They got to be I think they're probably still behind Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
The Rams.
Yep.
The Seahawks.
Yep.
Packers.
No.
No, they're ahead of the Packers.
No.
Okay.
No, they're not.
They're not ahead of the Packers.
No.
Okay.
But they're not behind the Packers.
They're the same as the Packers.
Yeah.
Got it. Philly still ahead of them?
Philly is... Yes.
Okay, so that's 5.
You there are obvious teams you haven't named.
Chicago?
1 is in their own division.
Oh. Baltimore?
Baltimore.
Oh, non-playoff Baltimore. Still higher, huh?
Chicago is not... Chicago's behind the Jags.
Really?
27-1.
That actually seems like a decent bet to place.
Yeah, it's a tough division, though.
Depending on if they get
there. They are 22-1.
22-1.
They're tied with the Packers. They have
8th in the league, 7th or 8th in the league, somewhere in there.
The teams ahead of them?
Yeah. Who's
Broncos,
ahead of
them?
Texans. Broncos, yeah.
Eagles, Chiefs, Niners, Patriots, Niners. Lions, Chargers, Ravens, Bills, Seahawks, Rams.
Wow.
22-1.
I mean, yeah, if you feel confident in answering those 3 questions,
Joey
that's
B,
a
man.
Great bet to place.
It's very interesting quotes coming out of Cincinnati. I'm looking forward to it, man, and I'm with him. Like, I cannot wait for camps to start opening up and getting closer and closer to football season. Joe Burrow says this team reminding him of the 2019 national champion LSU.
Go Tiger.
Go Tiger. Loaded third hour of the program. Steve Pfeiffer will join us at 8:30-ish. We'll kick off hour 3, Dirt and Sprague, on 105.1 The Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.